I want to speak with you today about renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, chances are you've heard the phrase renewing your mind. It comes out of Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and in which Paul is asking now, that he's beseeching, in fact, that his readers take everything that he has said in the previous 11 chapters in our Bibles to now begin to make practical application into their lives. Given what God has done with a broken, fallen, rebellious humanity, a humanity that is in a state of rebellion, that have made themselves enemies of God, given the fact that while we were yet enemies, while we were yet sinners, God sent his Son to die on our behalf so that we might have union with him and eternal life, so that we might be justified by faith and by faith alone in the finished work of Christ. And that means that our relationship with sin has changed, just like our relationship with God has changed through the justifying work of the Father through the Son and the application of that work by the Spirit. We have now a new relationship with God. Romans 5:1 says, "As therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We are in an accepted state, inasmuch that we were dead in trespasses and sins. We who were lost, who had no desire for God, who were not seeking for God, God has intervened in our insanity. God has intervened, and he has raised us up through the hearing of the gospel. He has quickened us into new life so that we now stand before him justified, not based on any good works that we have done, but based on the finished work of his Son. So we are in a new standing, not just as forgiven sinners, but as children of God. We are in a new standing. We are in union with the Son of God. And now it is God's purpose to conform us fully to his image, his moral character, so that the likeness of Christ will be seen in our conduct, in our thinking, in our speaking, in the way we move and go about our daily life. This is a powerful, powerful thing, because what we have here then is a sense of response to what God has done. All the other world religions speak of practices and things that we do in order to seek God, in order to find God, in order to evoke God's fellowship, and even perhaps find and overcome our weaker moral faults. So, but in Christianity, what sets it apart, wholly sets it apart, is that the message, the gospel message, is that God has done for us what we could have never done in seeking and pursuing and sacraments and rituals and rites and sacrifices. We could have never reconciled ourselves to God. God demands perfection, the perfection that was in his Son, Jesus Christ. And in Jesus now, we have, by faith in him, we share in his perfection. And we share that fellowship. We share the love of God. God the Father sees everyone who's in Christ with the same love, the same fellowship, the same glory that he has with his Son. These are mind-boggling truths. And it's nothing that we did. It's nothing that we could have ever accomplished. Many have pointed out that, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, is there are no commands, there are no imperatives, because Ephesians chapter 1 through 3 is a complete outline of what God has done that we could have never have done. But Ephesians 4 through 6 now has up to 35 commands, 35 imperatives about how now that we understand what God has done for us, we are now to work that out not in order that we might be justified, but because we are justified. But because we are in this new standing by grace through faith. We are in this new standing with God as beloved children. And we want to work that out now. We want to become in practice, in conduct, what God has given us already in calling. In other words, as many have said as well, we want to become who we really are. We want to experience that on our daily basis. Now that requires that we renew our minds, obviously. We renew our understanding. We set aside the old self and the old way of thinking. It means we set aside the old way of living that we were so accustomed to. We are no longer just forgiven sinners. We are children of God. We share a nature. We are partakers, 2 Peter 1 says, in the divine nature. We shall be like him, be like Jesus fully one day. And now, in this life, even though we still struggle with the flesh, with sin and the world and the devil, we have the victory. We are overcomers. We are not victims of the flesh. We are not victims of sin. We are not victims of the devil. We are not victims of the world. Now, what I've just spoke of now is just, there's two things to consider. So, but before I go into that, what we're going to do in these coming sessions is today I'm going to introduce you to what it means to have a renewed mind. We're just going to give you an overview. And then in the coming sessions, we're going to go into detail about what does that look like? How do we apply that into our lives? How do we work this out? And believe me, my brothers and sisters, I need this as much as you do, perhaps more than you do. But God has given me the gift to teach, and so I will exercise that gift, and I pray God by the mercies of God faithfully. And we can learn together. We can learn together what this means and what it means to work this out into our lives so that we're not just living a veil of tears and this horrible lifetime now and hanging out waiting for Jesus to return. And we're just living in an awful state. And one day we're looking towards heaven. No, the power of the kingdom of God is present today. Now, it will be fully realized one day. We'll never fully realize it in this life. But we can experience what it means in a very practical, powerful way to be overcomers today, to be children of God today, to no longer be victims, but to be walking in a spirit of power and of love and of a self-mind or self-control. This is what Paul told Timothy. He said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we want to understand these things better. We want to have them worked out into our life. Paul commands the Philippians in Philippians 2, 12 through 13, that to work out their salvation, it isn't something you just make a deposit and never withdraw from. It is a deposit that God has made in you. It is a standing that God has accomplished on your behalf. And now let's work out that standing. So this begins by renewing how we think, renewing how we speak, renewing our minds. So there are two aspects of our spiritual life. First is the cure. The cure is regeneration. As I said a few moments ago, none of us came to Christ on an uptick. We were all dead in trespasses and sins at one time. And even though God had chosen us before the foundation of the world so that we may be holy and blameless in Christ, we were nonetheless in this time and space, in this time from which we were born till the time that we, by faith, were justified in Christ, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were controlled by the world. We were controlled by sin. We were controlled by the devil. We were controlled by the flesh. And we were willing participants. We loved sin. We anticipated the lusts of our sin, the pleasures of our lusts. And yet God, through the hearing and the preaching of the gospel, and with the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, raised us to new life. gave us new life. And so we're no longer spiritually dead, but spiritually alive. Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. He said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So the cure for the human condition, the cure for the human condition is that regenerating work. We refer to it as being born again or born above, born of the Spirit. It is what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 must happen. It is a must. No one will enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born of the Spirit. Period. It isn't an automatic ticket. It is something that must happen to us. Now, if you feel a desire to come to Christ, that's because the Father is withdrawing you. No one in a spiritually dead state desires to be united with Christ. It is only when the Spirit begins to move in your heart to regenerate, in that process, that event, I should say, of regeneration, that we begin to see Jesus through the eyes of faith, in the glory, in the beauty that He is, in the Savior, in the Lord that He is, and we are drawn to Him, and we are born of the Spirit. That's the regeneration. We are made new. We are born again. So the cure for humanity is regeneration. The care that we need after we're regenerated is the renewal process. Regeneration is the cure. Renewal is the care. It's how we care for our souls. It's how we care for one another. You would never imagine bringing a baby into the world and then leaving that child just to make it on their own. You would never bring a baby into the world and walk outside of the hospital and with a baby in your swaddling clothes and lay it in the parking lot and say, well, I hope you have a good life. Best wishes. Get in your car and leave it sitting there. No. And the same for us. When we are born of the Spirit, and those who are born of the Spirit around us, the new believers, they need to be cared for. They need to be renewed. They need to be fed. They need to be nurtured. They need to be taught. They need to be equipped so that they come into fullness of the stature, the maturity in Christ, so that they grow up and they are full in Christ. So regeneration is the cure and renewal is the care. And what I will be speaking to you about is the care aspect of it. How do we care for our souls? Now, we are in the world, and we're in today, in October of 2020, we are in a state of crisis. We're in a state of a worldwide pandemic. It's affected the economy. It's affected our health. As perhaps many of you know people who have been affected by COVID. Some of you perhaps have lost loved ones or close friends or associates to this disease. We have to be caring people right now, more than ever. But we have to be caring where it counts. And where it counts is renewing our mind. We can't just be sympathizers. We have to be renewing our minds. And until we renew our minds, we don't have anything to offer, really, substantial, to each other and to the world around us. God can use the gospel. He can use those evangelists and preachers to preach the gospel. People will still come to Christ. There will still be regeneration going on. But we have to still learn how to care for one another. And we can't learn to care for one another until we renew our minds. I said a few minutes ago that we, through regeneration, we are in a new standing. We have a new relationship with God, a new relationship to sin. And we need now to work that out. So, Romans 12, 1 through 2. Let me read that. This is from the New King James Version. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. End quote. So immediately we see that there is an offering to make. given what God has done on our behalf, there is a response from us required, commanded. He beseeches us, therefore, by the mercies of God, that we present our bodies. Now, why do we present our bodies? Because in the remaining flesh, our bodies are the battleground. Our minds are the body ground, our mind and bodies. We need to put aside the old man, to lay off the old self and put on the new self. Now, I wish somebody would have told me this when I was 17 and a new Christian, that my body was something I needed to offer up as a living sacrifice. I mean, when you're 17 or 18 years old and you got hormones popping, you've got all the stuff that's going on in your body, and then later on in life you get older and you start having health problems perhaps, you still need to recognize that you're dealing with a body that needs to be daily offered up as a living sacrifice. What we do in our bodies matters. That's why we need to offer ourselves. We are embodied people. We are spiritual beings, and we're embodied people. We aren't just spiritual beings. We are embodied spiritual beings. And what we do in our bodies, contrary to the teaching of some, and contrary to the heresy of the old Gnosticism, what we do in our bodies matters. How we handle our bodies, what we do with our bodies. And here we're being told to offer it as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, pleasing to God, so that what we do in our bodies is something that honors God. That's something that's in keeping with the work that He has started in us. So we're to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. It's your spiritual service of worship, another translation says. Now, and then we face this dichotomy in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we offer our bodies. We don't just assume to be so spiritual that our bodies don't matter. Truly, they do. The actions we take, the actions, the things we say, the things we do, especially sexually and otherwise with our bodies, matter greatly to God. So we're to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, and then we are to avoid being conformed to the world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've heard this phrase before, renewing your mind. Perhaps if you're like me, you thought, "Wow, that's great, great. I want to, but how do I do that? How do I renew my mind? What does that mean? I mean, I'm all on board. Sign me up. How do I do it?" Where many preachers fail, they are happy to tell us about something that needs to be done, but very rarely do you hear a preacher tell you how to do it. So, we're going to be looking at how to do it. How do we renew our mind, since it's so critical, especially in this time, these days in which we live. So, the first thing to understand about renewing your mind is that we all have this belief system, a belief system that we inherited from Adam through the vehicle venue of our family of origin, our family system. We inherited a belief system about life, about God, about money, about sex, about other people, about the world, about many things. We have a belief system. And most of, if not all, of that belief system has to be renewed. There's nothing about the Adamic view of life that can be carried into the kingdom of God. It has to be renewed. So when we say renewing our minds, it implies that there is something for us to do. That it implies that it needs to be renewed. He wouldn't tell us that we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind if there was no need for it. Of course there is. So Romans 12:2 is a command, and there's something for us to do then. Kenneth Boa has said, if we do nothing, quote, if we do nothing, the world will conform us to its values and standards, end quote. He's right. The default is to the world, because we live in a counterintuitive state. We are, what we're called to do as Christians is counterintuitive to what the world does, counterintuitive to the old belief system. So when we get stimuli through the media, through relationships, through whatever the senses pick up, the six senses, that stimuli goes into a belief system. And it's at that point that you begin to interpret reality to yourself. You begin to interpret reality to yourself based upon the stimuli that you're getting from the outside world, people, places, and things, into your belief system. And you interpret that stimuli based upon that belief system. So you can see then already how imperative it is that we interpret that based upon the mind of Christ as opposed to the mind of Adam. This is why we have to renew our minds. Dallas Willard once said, "It is true that we can do nothing without Christ, but if we do nothing, it will be without Christ." The Christian life is an active response to grace. The Christian life is an active response to grace. Never and nowhere does the Bible teach that we are to be saved by grace through faith and then rest on our laurels until Jesus comes back, or to go enjoy the pleasures and lusts of the world knowing that we're saved anyway. There's nothing in the Bible that teaches any of that. The Christian life is an active response to grace. Philippians 2, 12 to 13, I mentioned earlier, Paul is very clear that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is God who is at work in us, both to do and to will according to his good pleasure. Think of that. You are now a child of God who lives to please your Father. That's how Jesus lived. Jesus lived to love and to please and to do the will of his Father. He had this loving relationship he had with the Father as the Son. And he longed to do that. He said he always does that which pleases the Father. Think of that. What a beautiful standard that we have in Christ. Do I live in such a way as to be pursuing to do that which always pleases the Father? That's what we're called to. That's the standard to which we are called to conform. Now, you can begin to see already how that renewing your mind is fairly important. There's no hope of us being able to do that unless we have our minds renewed, how we think about people, places, and things in the world around us. So we have the stimuli, goes into our belief system. Our belief system, therefore, needs to be changed. We are powerless to change the stimuli. You've probably noticed that you are powerless over other people, places, and things. There's very little about your external world that you can actively change. You can't make people behave. You can't make things do what they want to, what they should do even. Things happen, and they have their own impetus sometimes, and it's almost impossible. And you make yourself half crazy trying to change and control the outer world. What we really need to do is change our minds, change our thinking about these things. Okay, so there's a significant difference, Kenneth Boa has said, between human effort to do things for Jesus and inviting him to live and manifest his life through us. That's what we're talking about. We have the mind of Christ. You currently possess the mind of Christ. And what we want to do now is learn to change our belief system so that we now have that stimuli come in through our senses, and we interpret it based upon the mind of Christ and not the mind of Adam that we inherited from our family tradition. How many times have you heard people say, "Well, that's just how I was raised"? Right. That's the problem. That's just how you were raised. "Well, in my family growing up, we did it this way." Okay. If that's a neutral thing, a benign thing, like what brand of potato chips you buy, that's fine. But when it comes to dealing with real issues in life, you got to let go of that. You got to put that aside. 1 Peter 1:18 says that we've been redeemed, not with silver and gold from that empty way of life handed down to us by our forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb, a perfect lamb, he says. So we've been redeemed from that empty way of life handed down to us by our forefathers. It's something that had us in its clutches, and we have been redeemed from it. And renewing our minds is how we escape. The prison doors have been flung open. The chains have fallen off. And now, by renewing our minds, we find the energy and the power and the direction to walk out of the prison. Hallelujah. So, in the next episode, we're going to talk about how do we do that. This has been an introduction, and I'm not going to leave you hanging. We'll get to how do we do that. Now, what you might want to do is read ahead of Romans 12, 3 through 21. Romans 12, 3 through 21. Paul never tells us to do anything that he doesn't tell us then how to do. He's told us in verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. That's the default. One of those two things are going to happen. Either you'll be conformed to this world or be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what you and I want is the transformation. And in verses 3 through 21, he gives us instructions as to how to do that. And so we'll pick that up next time we're together, talk about how we begin to, in a very practical way, to retrain our thinking, to retrain our responses, to renew our belief system, so that when the stimuli comes in, we respond to it. We respond to it in our the mind of Christ and not the mind of Adam. Well, we're going to pause there. May the Lord bless you and keep you and strengthen you. And may you continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ until we meet again. Amen.